Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here we go to the screen. All right. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent and off position. Amen. Real quickly, anyone heard what Brother Joe? Is he okay? Is he doing okay? Oh, okay. Okay. Someone said he was in the hospital, but he's okay. I don't know, that's what I heard. So, we'll find out later. I just wanted to make sure he's okay. All right, if you have your cell phones, put them on the silent and off position. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Are You Sold Out to Christ? Are you sold out to Christ? As I went before the Lord this week, I was just waiting for a word to come, and when we were watching the clips last week of God pouring out His Spirit on the college campuses, high schools, even middle schools, we're seeing people that are committed, that are sold out. The middle linebacker who played yesterday, his last name is Stiles. He has two brothers on the Ohio State Buckeyes team. Well, the middle linebacker is the one that led 1,000 to Christ. And that clip that we saw. And they're on fire right now for the Lord. That whole campus is on fire. Because that lets me know that they're sold out to Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, when you're sold out to Christ, you will tell somebody about Jesus. You will share. You will expound. You will express. You will raise up. You will sow into people's hearts the Word of God. So we're going to look ahead on a man who was sold out. And guess what? He didn't even have the Word of God with him. He never read a scripture. All he did was hear a voice. Just imagine just hearing a voice. And yet he was sold out for God. Are we there in Genesis?
Yeah.
Genesis 6, 5 through 8. Let's read it. And it reads, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Let me just say this. This is one of maybe two more times we read in Scripture, entire Scripture, where God repented that he made man. Something had to have had happened during this time where he wanted to terminate every human being. Why? Because it was so wicked. We think today's wicked. Back then, it was really in gross wickedness. Angels would come down and go into the women. And then out came monsters. And guess what these new things are now? AI and all these other things that are taking place. They caught Putin and Xi, the two presidents of China and Russia. They were talking as they were walking. That they're coming up with these scientific things to change out the heart, to change out all these body parts so that they can live another 200 years. They caught him all night. They're trying to tell God, we can live forever here on earth. Okay. That's wicked. That is very wicked. Look at this, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Wow. Both man and beast, creepy things and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has found grace in the eyes of the Lord for you. I'm here to let us know this morning, we are all grace's kids. Can I get amen? Amen. We're kids of grace. Kids of mercy. If you want to say what my name is, Grace and Mercy. I'm Brother Grace and Mercy. Can I get amen? Sister Grace and Mercy. Why? Because he could have destroyed us. Oh, come on. You remember in your BC years? Some of you walking wickedly. I know I was. I don't know about you. Saints, fearing God is always reflected in obedience to him. And he always rewards obedience. Did you know God rewards obedience? But he will curse disobedience. If you're disobeying God, he'll find ways that you'll know that it was God that allowed it. Can I get amen? Listen, you don't want to get on the wrong side. You may think you're getting away with stuff. You may think you're compromising with things of the world. Wait till he gets a hold of something and shatters you. Especially if you're a child of God who claims to be one. Can I get amen? Amen. Ooh, you can't live a life of duplicity. It will catch up. And he will find you, and you'll know it's him. And you're either going to do one of two things. Repent before him or curse him. You're either going to walk away from him and curse him, or you're going to repent and fall on your face like King David. King David didn't curse God when he had to call him on the carpet. He cried out for mercy, and God showed him mercy. Look at Hebrews 11:7, right up here. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, not yet seen, look at this, not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He had the fear of the Lord. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Saints, fearing God is always reflected in obedience, as I mentioned. Noah, far from being a mariner. He knew nothing about boats. I believe Marvissa's called mariners, right? Yes. So they're like shipmen. That's what a mariner is. He never been on a ship. But he began building a strange looking boat with one small window. It's right up here, look. An ark. Moreover, as he built it, he proclaimed to all who would listen that God told him a flood was coming to destroy civilization. Did you know that judgment's coming still? And this time it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire, isn't it? People don't understand. Jesus, in his love, has poured out his spirit for 2,000 years, wooing people to come to him. Come and get in the ark. Get in this ark. The ark is the cross now. Come to the cross. And yet people fight him tooth and nail. How many people know people that just, that's good for you. Yeah, you know, you go to church. You need it. Help us, Jesus. And couple this strange scenario with the fact that in the history of the world, it never rained. It never rained back then. So just imagine the people around them laughing and ridiculing them. That's okay, Because they'll laugh and ridicule you as a believer. Oh, man, I remember how you used to roll this. Huh? Orale, I know you. Huh? Yeah. So since the true story of Noah and the ark has leaped from the Bible to capture the imagination of young and old alike in every generation for nearly 40 centuries. Saints, when God told Noah it was going to rain, guess what? He believed it. Do you believe that God's coming back and he's going to judge? Do you believe that? Noah believed that it was going to rain. That's why he built the boat. When God told him to build that boat, he responded by beginning to build it. He said, you know what? His wife might have thought he was nuts, but she came alongside, even his sons. They came alongside to help him build that boat. But when Noah relayed this message to the people of that day, my friends, they didn't believe. So how many people do you know in your life that still won't believe? Man, I got 11 brothers and sisters. There's only three of us walking. Out of 11, only three are believers. And you try to tell the rest about Christ? When they see you coming, they close the blinds. They muzzle the dog. They don't answer the door. Here comes that holy roller. That's okay. That's okay. Bible says rejoice when they persecute you. Amen? Amen. Rejoice. Don't try to be like them. Peter the apostle called Noah a preacher of righteousness. Did you know that? Because Noah kept hammering and heralding. In other words, he there was no quitting him. Look at what I found in 2 Peter right up here. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of what? Righteousness. Bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has called you righteous. Listen, come on. If no one's told you this, but we are the righteousness of Christ by faith. Can I get amen? Amen. And it's nothing that we did. It's by receiving Jesus, getting washed in the blood, filled with his spirit. With this promise, then he declared you righteous now. Now we can stand before a holy God and not be condemned and not be destroyed. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Look at verse 6 up here. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot. See, he called Lot righteous too. Who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. It was ugly back then. And it's ugly today. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, saints, man's wickedness caused God to resort to a destructive flood. And it was Noah's godly fear and righteousness that caused God to warn him and to give him others an opportunity to escape. This message like today is just a reminder of his goodness, of his grace, that there's still a way of escape. To those who are on Facebook and YouTube, we welcome you. But if you're listening, there's a way of an escape for you. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this. God warned of destruction. He warned. The ancient days of Noah's civilization was more wicked than we can imagine. Our world is wicked today, but the Bible says of Noah's day that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Meaning evil when you woke up, evil when you went to bed, evil when you were walking around. It was so filthy and evil. All they wanted to do was murder, rape, steal, kill, connive. It was horrible. Break into your place, take everything you got. So, in other words, only the strong survived. Wow, it was ugly. So, look at Jeremiah. We already read these in the beginning, but let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. The prophet, he understood it clearly. The heart, our heart, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. See, this is why we need a Savior. This is why we need to be saved. Why? Because our heart is wicked. Without the Holy Spirit, without being saved, we would still be in our wickedness. You remember, brother, what God delivered you from. You know my testimony. Many of us, some of us in here, were in alternative lifestyles. And God delivered you. Can I get amen? Yes, that's right. Can I get amen? Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Delivered.
Thank
you, Lord. Come on.
And
only Jesus can deliver us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So let's look at this. God warned Noah. God warned Noah. Look what he said in Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come to me, before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Wow. And God did that. The highest mountain, I believe, in the world is Mount Arafat, and water was above that, around the whole world. There was no ground to see, no trees, no nothing. Every flesh died. Everything that was alive, every creeping thing, birds died, reptiles, mammals, and man. He had to kill it all and start all over again. So we are the descendants of Noah. All of us in here, we're descendants of Noah, but we still have the Adamic nature of Adam. We still have a sinful body, and that was from the original sin in the garden. That's why Jesus had to come to save us. Amen? How many are so blessed to know he came to save us?
Amen.
He came to save us from ourselves. My goodness. God has always had people of righteousness to whom he could relate through, whom he could communicate with mankind. And that is you and me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Did you know that you're not a coincidence? Did you know that you just didn't stumble and fumble into Christianity? Did you know that there was a calling in your life before the foundation of the world? He already knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you were conceived, God already knew you. And he had a plan for you. And guess what? That plan is great and mighty. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Some of you, God is raising up to be preachers.
Hallelujah.
Future pastors in here. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Ministers of the gospel. Some of you are going to be prophets. Thank you, God. And God's going to do it all. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So in every dispensation, remember we put up the dispensations? God has had someone to whom he could talk to and convey his messages so that they would relay his words to all the people. Noah was God's man in that many often refer as the dispensation of conscience. So remember we put that, I didn't put it up here today, but it was the dispensation of conscience, knowing what God wanted for our lives, knowing what wickedness was, what being unrighteous and being righteous means. Noah was part of that godly line descending from Seth, as opposed to the godless line of Cain. Noah was the grandson of Methuselah and great-grandson of Enoch, a patriarch known for his walk with God and his translation into heaven. Look what Hebrews 11:5 says. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For he was taken, and he had his testimony that pleased God. Can God say that of us when it's time for us to go? Huh? Of course. That's right. Of course. He's going to look at each and every one of us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you, Jesus. Why? There's nothing we did. It's what he did at the cross. So what God found in Noah, he found the same thing in you. Look at this, right up here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Put your name there. But Marty. But Art. But Rebecca. Huh? But Frankie. But Vera. Come on, put your name right there. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible also describes Noah as a just man, perfect, and that he walked with God. Can we honestly say we're walking with him? Or do you just talk to him on Sunday mornings? How's your Monday morning? Are you talking to him 24/7? He's got to overwhelm your thought life now. Yes. He should be an all-consuming fire in you, consuming your heart, your mind, engulfed in his presence. Well, that's right. You know why? You know why you want more of God in you? Because you'll do a lot less sinning. The more you put God in you, the more less you're going to want to sin or even think about sinning. Thank you, Jesus. It is commendable that Noah maintained his integrity in spite of being surrounded by sin. He was surrounded by ungodliness, and yet he maintained his integrity. In other words, he didn't lose his testimony. You know, a lot of us, man, still got that little machoism in us. You know, even as a believer, slow your roll. Put that hand down. Don't even ball that fist up. Sometimes you just got to walk away. Can I get amen? Because the moment you smack someone, you lost your testimony. And not who just was there, you lost it with God. We have to learn now. Can I get amen? We have to learn humility. People are going to get you angry in this life. But the Bible says be angry, but sin not. There's nothing wrong being angry. I can be angry, but just don't sin. Just don't walk up and say, what up with that, man? And smack. You know how we used to roll? Some of us didn't even say nothing. We just walk up and crack them. Can't do that no more. Can I get amen? Amen. And if that's still in you, then there's something that's not in you, and that's the Spirit of God. Because God will keep you maintained. God will give you that peace that you don't even have to go there. You'll just walk away. And you know one thing that I find, that even though you can have a confrontation immediately, if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll go forgive that person right away. Right, my brother? You got to do it. got to do it. Why? Because it honors God. It honors Him. No. I remember what Pastor Leo had said when we were at Mission Valley. You could be having a debate with someone, and you could be so dead right that you're dead wrong. Because now you lost them. Now you want to be so right, and you're right. You lost them now. And now they don't want nothing to do with you because you wanted to make your point across, proving that you were right. Man, sometimes you got to win. You got to wisdom. How can I restore you? How can I win you? We don't need to be talking about that no more. Don't even engage in that. But it seems that it was the presence of the ark that condemned the world, not necessarily his preaching. The cross condemns. Can I get amen? He was a preacher of righteousness, not condemnation. Did you know that Jesus did not condemn the world? How many believe that Jesus did not condemn the world? He preached righteousness. Those who did not believe were already condemned. Did you know that the world was already condemned? I got scripture right up here to prove that. Look at this. First of all, we're going to see how Noah warned his word. That's right. Look at this right here. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood on the world that was what? Very ungodly. And so I don't want to pass this up before we get to Jesus. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. Look at this in Hebrews. By faith, being divinely warned of these things, Noah yet moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. How many believe that you're an heir of God? So always know, whatever Jesus has, he has given it to you. We're joint heirs with Christ. So let's get back to where Jesus never condemned the world. Jesus was a giver. Jesus was a lover of our soul. And so I got proof right here in John. John 3:17, look at this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world he might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when we are born and conceived into this world, guess what? When we're thrust out of our mother's womb, we're on death row. We start death row right there. We're already condemned. We're condemned already. But in his grace and his mercy, he allows us to grow, and then he comes to us, and then he saves us.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Only God can do that, saints. The people who were lost in Noah's day because they could not repent of their wickedness, not merely because they failed to get into the ark. If they had been righteous, they would have gotten into the ark. But since they were wicked, they did not even consider it. That's people today. They don't believe that they are sinners. So when they look at the cross, I don't need that. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm glad you found God. So people in Noah's day, they saw the ark. We don't need that. It's no different today. They look at the cross and they don't need the cross. They don't need, what's he going to do for me? Are you going to pay my bills? You ever heard that? Are you going to pay my bills? I've heard a whole kind of thing that I, yes. So apparently, Noah did not preach get into the ark, for the people needed to repent of their wickedness to obtain righteousness. Then they would have gone into the ark. Noah, sensing that need, he just preached righteousness. He didn't say get in the ark. You know that saying? Just come to church. But remain yourself. Don't change. Just come to church. That's no different. He didn't say come in the ark. Why? They would have came in still a sinner. There would have been no change. Wow. So look at this. God gives warning for today. Today. Look at Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. What? So when he was building that ark and he was done, and after all those years, 120 years of mocking him, the rains came. Him and his family got in, and God closed the door. And the people, as the water was rising, they were clawing with their fingernails to try to get in. And they couldn't get in no more. No different when Jesus comes and takes his church home. No difference. They're going to remember everything you told them. Everything that you shared with them. They're going to be in total horror. People that were playing church. How many people love to play church? Jesus warned that the time preceding the second coming would be similar to the days of the flood. He said there would be a time of eating, drinking, marrying, divorce. Moreover, there would be a lack of knowledge of God, spiritual food. There'll be a lack. There'll be people just running to and fro until that flood came. Eating and drinking ceased to imply a preoccupation with pleasure. It is evident that our present world is pleasure hungry. Did you know we're a pleasure hungry seeking society? Pleasure. You call for a prayer meeting, one to show up. But let's all go to Disneyland, take a trip. Oh man, sign me up. Many people today expend much time and effort in pursuit of personal pleasures. Jesus' prophecy concerning the last days harmonizes with Paul's warning to Timothy, his son, in the gospel. Look at this, right up here in 2 Timothy. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. Wow. Look at this, what I found here. This is from Wikipedia and the FBI website. From 1970 to present day, from present day in July 2025, California had the highest of K-12 school shootings in any state. 277 shootings in school. When we were going to school, Pastor Art, there was no shooting in schools. None. Even yours. Okay, so look at this. Since 1999, Columbine shooting, over 390 students in the U.S., 390,000. Have experienced gun violence at school. the U.S. has experienced more school shootings than all other major industrialized nations combined. All 50 states in our union that have legalized homosexual marriages. So when you got all that ungodliness, does it sound like Noah's Day? This is why I see God pouring out his spirit, because this is the last curtain call. He's saving a whole bunch. But the majority are like this. 390,000 students shot since 1990 or 1999. Wow. I know every day, how many, if you watch the news, every day someone's getting shot. Every day. It's like when we were kids, if someone died and got shot, we were at the TV like, oh my gosh. My mom and dad would be crying. You remember when President Kennedy died? The whole nation mourned. Everyone was crying. No one cries no more. Oh. You just get the clicker. Oh, let's see what else is on. We're numb to it. Don't matter no more, does it? And then, 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, we saw this on the Grammys. They did a show at the Grammys called Church of Satan. And it was led by Sam Smith in 2023. He's that English singer. He sings with Adele a lot. Blatantly telling the world what they're all about. Wow. Amazing, huh? Saints, godly fear activates obedience. If you truly have a reverential fear for God and you fear God, it'll activate obedience. Look at this. The fear of God initiates innumerable blessings. How many want to be blessed by the Lord? Amen. Listen, there are seven verses and seven different proverbs that begin with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not this. Let me hide. I'm scared. No, that don't mean that. The fear of the Lord means I reverence with reverential fear. You are God and I'm not.
That's right.
And I honor you. I bless you. But look what the fear of the Lord does when you operate that way in the right connotation. Look at number one. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you try to tell people about what's right, what's wrong, what's holy, what's not holy. They'll fight you tooth and nail. Or they'll compromise. Yeah, but. Go ahead. Keep on fooling yourself. They fool themselves. Because they compromise in their heart. Look at number two. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance. And the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. We were talking about that the other, I think it was Wednesday, brother. I forgot. You and I were talking about Santana. Was that you and I were talking about him? I was talking to somebody about Santana. Carlos Santana, when he did the supernatural thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. We did talk about it. It was all about Santeria. Yeah. The devil promoted that album for him. Yeah, if you look at the album, he's got all those Santeria symbols on there. No. I know that. No. He never claimed to be a believer, but what he's promoting witchcraft.
Evil ways.
Oh, yes. But Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. If you still cursing, have a perverse mouth, God says, I hate that. Who still likes to curse? You still like to curse? Take it up with God. Not, I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. You can throw tomatoes at me all you want. But your fight is with God, not me. And guess what? Your arms are too short to box with God. Look at number three. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where you're going to get your wisdom. By reverencing God. Look at number four. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. You stay in your wickedness, your days are going to be shortened. God will allow you to get taken out sooner than you thought. Why? Because you stay in your wickedness. When you know the truth. If you know the truth, stay in the truth. Can I get amen? I'm just telling you what God says in His Word. If you don't believe His Word, if you believe that it's just ink on pages, go ahead. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Number five, Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The devil wants to snare you. Did you know he wants to snare you? He wants to pull you in. And he wants to connive you. He wants to take you to the mountaintop. Say, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. Two big icons that I know. They died too young. But Satan probably told them, I'll give you the whole world if you worship me. One of them was Elvis Presley. The other one was Michael Jackson. Promised them the world. And they were taken out in their 50s. My. People don't learn lessons, though. They don't see it. Look at number six. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. People walking around proud as a peacock. Why do you think those big old rainbow flags in Hillcrest, they call it Pride Parade? Why? They're actually saying, I'm proud. I'm proud of the way I am, and it's like this to God. Lord have mercy. Did you know that they're going to have their day in court? Jesus help us. Look at number seven. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. You don't want evil to show up at your door? Man, there's some things that God says, don't even go to. Don't even be a part of no more. Some things we may attend, and it may just be a fisticuff. Next time it's going to be a shooting. Why? Because evil lurks. And what I just said is prophetic. God just gave me that right now. To someone in here. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed who you hang with. Schofield defines fear of the Lord as a phrase of the Old Testament piety, meaning reverential trust and hatred of evil. It is not feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence of nearness of danger, evil, pain, etc., which is the usual definition of fear, but is a reverence and respect. So let's look at this. Godly fear motivated Noah to build the altar. And the first thing that Noah did, he left the ark, was to build an altar. So as soon as he hit dry land, what was the first thing he did? He worshiped God. You remember when you first got saved? You couldn't wait to get to worship God. First time in your whole life your hands went up like this. My goodness. You know what God showed me when your hands are lifted like this? It's like when the cops come from, say, you're under arrest. And so you're surrendered, right? You surrender. You're not going to jump in their face, are you? You'll get shot nowadays. So you surrender. Well, we worship God because we surrender our life to Him. We surrendered our life to Him. Thank you, God. Saints, the first step for us today is to build an altar with God. Look at this in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. The altar represented a place where Noah met with God, and God met with Noah. This morning, when we started praying, some of us started at 8:55 this morning. And man, the presence of God was here. Huh? Yeah, because we built an altar in here. We said, man, God. Amen. And then people kept coming. We were praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, God. Man, and the presence of God was thick in here. Listen, when you build an altar and you seek it with your whole heart like this, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You know those things that are added to you? The first thing comes to mind, material things. It's not necessarily material things. He has the presence of God. He the anointing of God. Healing comes. Yes. Deliverance comes. Yes, can I get amen?
Amen.
His goodness comes.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Especially when you have a down and out week. His mercy comes. Because He's the lover of our soul. He wants you to have the ultimate relationship with Him. If you allow Him. If you bend your knee toward Him. You open your heart toward Him. He's not a stingy God. And so, Noah became an heir of righteousness. Turn to your neighbor. You have become an heir of righteousness. That's right. Why? Because Noah found grace. We read this time and time. We read this a couple of times. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, the word grace comes from the Hebrew word shen, C-H-E-N-E, shen, meaning graciousness, kindness, favor, having the meaning of bending or stooping in kindness to an inferior. You know what? When I give the benediction, when I give, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face. When I give that benediction, in the Hebrew, in the Hebraic root, is God coming to us on bended knee. And then you know where it says, he lifts up His countenance. It's like picking up a little baby and holding the baby up and smiling at it. That's what He does. He comes to us that way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's how humble our Savior is. That's how much He loves you and me. My goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God stooped to warn Noah of pending doom. Came to him on bended knee. Hear me, Noah. And God got through And Noah believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Look at Philippians. Well, first of all, God was not obligated to warn Noah. Did you know he was not obligated? But God chose to. Guess what? We weren't. God wasn't obligated to save us, but he chose to. How many so blessed that he went through the highways and byways to find you? I was steeped in sin when he found me. I didn't have that testimony. Well, I was a good guy, and you know, I just felt a little emptiness, and I didn't know what it was. I would have to repent from that lie right now. $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Pound of weed in my closet. $300 of cocaine in my drawer. And I was delivered instantly. Not 1 second of withdrawal. Went home and flushed everything. Next morning, woke up and bought a Bible. I heard God's voice, go get a Bible. That following Sunday, I was at Horizon Christian Fellowship. Man, I was so happy to be in church. And I have no clue what they were singing about. I had no clue what they were saying in the Word. I was just happy to be there. I was just like, And I loved what Mike McIntosh said. Turn to the book of Philippians. I go, oh my gosh, they got Filipinos in the Bible. I wonder if they have the book of Mexico because my mother's Mexican. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? And God loves us. Listen, I'm gonna end right here. I have more, but I just feel like let's just pray. We'll pray these next 5 minutes, and but let's give Facebook and YouTube an opportunity to receive Christ. If you're listening right now, and you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm gonna ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's where the camera is, right up there. That little green light up there. Thank you, God. And so if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, bow your heart and your head. Pray this prayer. I'm going to ask Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.